All right. Well, it's good to see everyone here again today. Let's take our Bibles and turn to not Hebrews. We're going to pause that series for the next few weeks as we focus on Christmas and the Christmas story in the Word of God and focus on the reason for the season. And so we're going to begin looking at that today. Today, join me in turning to Matthew chapter 1 is where we'll begin. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 1. And when you've found that, you can also turn to Luke chapter 2. Actually, Luke chapter 1 and 2. We will go to both of those places in just a moment. So just be aware of that. We'll start in Matthew, and then we will go to Luke chapter 1, and then Luke chapter 2 is where we will end up. We're going to look at today in a very brief way, look at the three main characters of Christmas, really at least the three that we hear the most about, and that is Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds. And there are others that played into that time as well, yes. But what's interesting as we read the scriptures, and specifically the account of Joseph, Mary, and the shepherds, is the fact when they received the message of Christmas, the fact that Christ was born, that a Savior was born, or in Mary and Joseph's case, that a Savior would be born. In each of those instances, when they received the message of Christmas, it was accompanied with a command to fear not. As the angel announced to them, they said, "Fear not," and then he would proceed and give them the instructions there. There was something about receiving that first Christmas message that could have led to fear. But yet we see in each of these instances with Joseph is where we'll begin here in Matthew 1, and then Mary in Luke chapter 1, and then the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, that each of these individuals, when they received the message, they had to choose to respond to God's message in faith and not fear. And this ties in with what we have been looking at in Hebrews 11 about faith. But as we consider this morning, I want to ask us this question and have us consider this. How do you respond to God's word? Not just the message of Christmas, although that's what we're focusing on today, but how do you respond to God's word? And as we study each of these portions of Scripture today, we will see this one truth, that you must respond to God's word in faith and not fear. You must respond to God's word in faith and not fear. As we focus on the message of Christmas, we've sung about it today through the carols and our song of the month that we've introduced. We understand that the message of Christmas is very simply this, that God himself, while not ceasing to be God, became a man and was born in order to meet God's requirements for sin's payment by dying as a substitute for you and me on the cross of Calvary. That is the Christmas story. That is the Christmas message summarized. And as we focus on celebrating the birth of our Savior this Christmas season, I want to challenge us to respond to God's word in faith and not fear. So let's look at Matthew chapter 1 and begin with the story of Joseph. And we're starting with Joseph just because it's the first one we come to in the Gospels. But chronologically, Mary's announcement would have been first, and then Joseph's, but we are beginning with Joseph here. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 is where we will begin. Matthew 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. We understand the background of this a little bit, but to refresh our memories, we have to understand the cultural context of the Jewish marriage. Jewish marriages were often, almost exclusively, arranged by the parents of the two of the husband and wife-to-be. When the husband and wife-to-be were of marrying age, they entered a betrothal period, in which the marriage contract was officially sealed, a dowry was given, vows were said, and at that point they were considered to be husband and wife, although they would not live together. And that betrothal period would last for about a year. Sometimes it could be a little bit more, sometimes a little bit less. But during that betrothal period, the couple remained separated and did not engage in marital relations. This betrothal time was for the husband to specifically get his house in order and to show to his future father-in-law that he could support and take care of the wife that had been promised to him. After the betrothal period was fulfilled, there would be a marriage ceremony, which would often last many days, sometimes into weeks. In the marriage ceremony, the husband would go and fetch his bride from her father's house, bring her to his home. The marriage would be consummated, and they would begin their life together. But during this betrothal time, because the husband and wife were considered legally married as husband and wife, any unfaithfulness during this time was considered adultery, and it was punishable by death under the Mosaic law. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 22, you find that it was punishable by stoning to death. But also Deuteronomy 24 would also give the option of a private divorce by a letter of divorcement. And this was the situation that Joseph found himself in. He and Mary were betrothed. They had not come together as husband and wife. And during that time, she was found with child. Now, to Joseph's mind, what would be the first thought? She's unfaithful. It was the thought of not just Joseph, I'm sure, but everybody who knew the couple at that time. And the Bible doesn't tell us how Joseph found out the news that Mary was with child. Perhaps Mary told him. I would like to think that that's what happened. But the Bible doesn't specifically say. But it would not be hard to imagine and put ourselves in Joseph's place for a moment and imagine the hurt, the betrayal, the confusion, the disappointment, all the waves of emotions that would be overwhelming when you think that the one you have loved and promised your life to has been unfaithful to you. And the Bible tells us that Joseph was a just man. It makes it a very specific point to point that out, meaning he was determined to do what was right in every situation. He ordered his life by the Mosaic law, the word of God that he knew. He was living righteously according to what God had revealed to him through the Mosaic law. And he knew that according to the law, he only had the two options, a private divorce or a public death by stoning, public punishment by stoning. And he pondered these things, the Bible says, while he thought on these things. And let me just throw this out there as a study nugget for you to take and run with. Study the character of Joseph here that's emphasized in this passage. Study how his mercy is shown in multiple ways, how his righteousness is shown, being a just man. The character of Joseph here is fascinating and worthy of study, but we don't have time for that this morning. But as he's thinking on these things, verse 20 says, while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord came unto him in a dream and told him, said, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And when Joseph awoke, as the Bible said in verse 24, Joseph being raised from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. He immediately obeyed. He obeyed what the angel revealed to him. He went, he took Mary as his wife, and he did what God had told him to do. Joseph's response here, and there's a lot more that we could unpack with this, but I want us to see this one aspect. Joseph responded in faith over fear when God told him, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife. His faith caused him to obey and to take God at his word. Again, put yourself in the situation. Imagine what's going on here. The emotions, the hurt, everything that's going around in his head. What do I have to do now? How do I handle this? Privately, this. He decided to do the private bill of divorcement. And yet, when God said, don't be afraid, fear not, he said, okay, God, I'm going to take you at your word that this is what you're doing. And he was a just man, a righteous man. Joseph shows us that we need to not be afraid to take God at his word. And I think we see two things especially with this. Don't be afraid to take God at his word, especially when you're in times of difficulty and in times of hurting. Again, we've pointed that out with Joseph here, but I want to emphasize it again. The times when we are hurting or we feel like we have been wounded by others is often the times when it seems the hardest to trust God. But yet it's those very exact times when we need to do just that. Isaiah 41 verse 10, God tells us, he says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We talked about a few weeks ago with Sarah in Hebrews chapter 11. How that Sarah had to look beyond her circumstances, her physical inability to have children, and she had to take God at his word when he said, no, you're going to have a child because I've promised it. When we are hurting, oftentimes we can't see beyond the hurt that we are facing. But it's at those times when we have to refocus our faith and say, I can't see it, but I know what God has said, so I'm going to take him at his word. We must remember that God is always good. Take him at his word, and that he is always in control still. Joseph shows us we need to not be afraid to take God at his word, especially when we're hurting, but also especially when we don't know what to do. Again, it's emphasized here, Joseph was thinking on these things. The idea here is he's musing, he's rolling over the options. You know, what are my options here? How do I go about this? What's right for me? What's right for her? You know, all these things are happening. He genuinely did not know what to do. And it's at those times when we also need to not be afraid and take God at his word. The times we're confused and not sure what to do, we need to rest in the fact that God has said he will guide and direct us according to his word. Not by emotion, not by supernatural revelation, but he guides us according to his word. Psalm 119 verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Isaiah 48:17, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. God promises to guide and direct his children especially. When we by faith take God at his word, he has promised that he will guide and direct us. He will make things clear in the times when we are hurting. He will provide the comfort and the stability and the strength that is needed. But he can only do that when we take him at his word by faith and not let fear overcome us. One last thing too, we need to trust God's word, especially when the situation seems impossible. Again, think of how Joseph would, his first thoughts when the angel would appear to him and say that, you know, Mary's with child of the Holy Ghost. She's going to be the mother of the Messiah. First thought would probably be just like, wow, you know, how, you know, I'm sure there were questions. It's like, well, that seems impossible. But yet that did not stop Joseph from obeying and following God in faith. If we're honest, we all know that we face situations in life that seem impossible at times. Whatever it may be, maybe it's a health need, maybe it's a relationship issue, maybe it's a job thing, whatever. But there are times in life when what we face just seems completely impossible. But God is the God of the impossible. Matter of fact, we're going to see when we look at Mary's story here in just a minute. The angel Gabriel specifically says that there is nothing too hard for God. We need to choose to take God at his word. When things don't make sense to us, when we're hurting, when we're confused, Joseph shows us that we need to, by faith, take God at his word. Not react in fear. Fear will keep us from a lot of things that we should do. Fear will make us do things that we shouldn't do sometimes. Fear is a strong emotion. But the Christian life especially is not to be lived by fear. Matter of fact, in 1 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy and says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind and of doctrine and so forth. God wants us to learn to live by faith. And the story of Joseph here shows us when he received the message of Christmas, that Christ would be born, a Savior, he responded in faith by taking God at his word. Said, okay, God, I'm sure Joseph did not understand it all. But yet he said, okay, Lord, what you have said, that's what I'll do. And he, by faith, took God at his word. So as we think on this, let me make some application before we move on to the next story here. What situation are you in today where God simply wants you to take him at his word and trust him? One of my favorite quotes, and it's a excellent definition of what trusting God is. It comes from Jerry Bridges, who wrote the book Trusting God by that title. But it says, trust is not a passive state of mind, but it is a vigorous act of the soul by which we choose to lay hold on the promises of God and cling to them despite the adversity that at times seeks to overwhelm us. In other words, trusting is an act of choice. And it's a choice that has to be continually made because there will be adversity and things that overwhelm us constantly, seek to overwhelm us. And we need to continually make that choice that I will trust God in this situation no matter what. What situation are you in today where God simply wants you to take him at his word and trust him? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, perhaps you've hesitated because it seems too simple, or you have questions, you think that just doesn't make sense or whatever, God wants you to simply trust him. Take him at his word that when he says what Christ did on the cross is sufficient, that's all that's needed, you just simply have to place your faith and trust in him. That's all that's needed. As a Christian, again, God wants us to live by faith. The situations that we find ourselves in must be lived by faith, and we cannot be controlled by fear, regardless of what it is. So the story of Joseph shows us that we need to respond by faith and not fear, by taking God at his word. Flip over to Luke chapter 1, and let's consider Mary. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 is where we'll begin reading. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. The Bible says, and in the sixth month, this is referring to Elizabeth, who was mentioned earlier in the chapter, so she's now 6 months into her pregnancy. So that's the time frame referred to. So in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Notice verse 38. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Several things about this as we consider Mary's announcement as she received the message of Christmas. The angel said unto her that she had found favor with God. God had selected her for a special benefit. She was chosen by God to be the mother of Jesus, the Savior of the world. What a tremendous honor and privilege, but yet, also what a scary proposition. You can no doubt think of what might be going through Mary's mind at that announcement. And as she ponders this, it says she was troubled at his saying in verse 29, and that's why the angel said, Fear not. Mary didn't understand how it would all take place. The angel explains it in verse 34 and following, but really summarizes it with verse 37, where he says, With God, nothing shall be impossible. In other words, Mary, you may not be able to understand it fully, but just trust God. He's got it worked out. He knows what he's doing. And what we see with Mary here is when she received the message of Christmas, she responded by submitting to God's plan for her life. It would have been very easy for her to be afraid, and that fear motivates, like, well, no, I don't know how that's going to work. And the fear really could have prompted the wrong response. But yet in faith, Mary said, Be it according unto me according to thy word. Verse 38 shows us Mary's response. She says, first of all, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. A handmaid, simply a servant girl. She says, I'm the Lord's servant. Whatever he wants, that is what I will do. That is the expression of full submission to God's will. God, whatever you want. I don't understand it. Whatever you want, that's what I'm going to do. Mary responded by faith, by submitting to God's plan for her life. She understood that she was part of a much greater plan, that God was working. She didn't understand all the details, but she submitted to it and willingly said, God, here you go. Here's me. I am your handmaid. All that I am, be it unto me according to thy word. Do we live with that same attitude of submission to God in our lives today? When God reveals to us what he wants from us in his word, whatever it is, it's very clear as God lays out, you know, as we've looked at in the Sunday school hour here, through the pastoral epistles, through the Pauline epistles, how many times, you know, it said, walk worthy of the vocation where you've been called. And this is what sound doctrine should produce in your life. And we see how God expects us as Christians to live. Do we submit to God's will for our life and say, okay, God, whatever you expect from me, I'm willing to give it. All that I am, I'm yours. Can we say like Mary did, where she said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Can we say, God, I'm your servant. Whatever you want from me, that is what I'm willing to give. God has a plan and a purpose for every person's life. Everyone seated in this room today, God has a specific plan and purpose for each one of you. We look in the Word of God and we see how God has worked through individuals and prepared them for specific things. The prophet Jeremiah said that God had prepared him, ordained him a prophet from his mother's womb. That was God's plan from the beginning. Paul said that God had prepared him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles from his mother's womb. And we see God has specific plans here for Mary. God reveals that plan to her. God's will for our lives is not supposed to be a mystery to us. God's will is revealed to us as we walk in obedience to His Word and what we know God wants us to do today. Mary submitted to the message of Christmas, quite a scary proposition for her, but yet she responded with submission and said, "Okay, Lord, whatever you want, that is what I'll do." She submitted to God's plan for her life. Joseph took God at his word and obeyed. Mary also obeyed, but she obeyed by submitting to God's plan for her life. As I said before, submission to God's plan for your life is not just something for the future. Not just something for those big decisions that we have to make. But it's a day-by-day, moment-by-moment decision to do and obey what God says in His Word. Look at Luke chapter 2, and we'll look at our last group of individuals, and that is the shepherds. So Joseph shows us that we need to respond in faith and not fear by taking God at His word and obeying. Mary shows us that we need to respond in faith and not fear by submitting to God's plan for our lives. But notice the shepherds here. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1, Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and read down through verse 20 because that gives us the context here of the truth that we're going to look at. Very familiar passage with the Christmas story, but let's read it in its entirety here. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Then all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." After the angel appears unto them, the shepherds went to Bethlehem, saw exactly what the angel told them they would find, Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And the Bible says when they saw that, when they saw all that the angel had told them they would see, they went out And they made it known abroad, the Bible says. Verse 17 says, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it, and when they heard what the shepherds had shared, they wondered at those things which were told them. The shepherds' response of faith teaches us this truth, that when we hear the message of Christmas, and we do every year, we focus on it, we are reminded of it, why Christ was born, the purpose of the manger was to lead to the cross. When we are reminded of the story of Christmas, here's the truth, is that we need to not be afraid to share the message of Christmas Amen. With others. The angel made it clear when he announced to the shepherds. He said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. This is great news, not just for the shepherds. He said, unto you is born this day in this city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It's good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. The shepherds could have responded in fear and kept that news to themselves, but they didn't. They responded in faith and instead made known abroad the saying which was told them. They shared the news. Fear in our lives as Christians can keep us from sharing the good news of the gospel. Many times we think, well, how do I know what to say? Fear of not knowing what to say can cause us to not share the good news of the message of Christmas. But you know what's interesting? The shepherds simply shared what they had experienced and what they knew. They shared what was told them. They shared what they had seen. Shepherds would not have been the most literate or the most educated of the society of this day. But yet they shared what they knew. And as Christians, we can do the same. Share what God has done for us. We may not have all the answers. We may not be able to answer everything, but we can share what Christ has done for us. We can share the fact that we know he was born so that he would die on the cross for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. I'm reminded of the man that Jesus healed in John chapter 9, a blind man who Jesus healed. And after the blind man, after he was healed, he was being questioned by the Pharisees and the religious groups, like, well, who did this, and how are you able to see, and what happened? And it's like, well, how do you know that was, the Messiah and not just an ordinary man or whatever? And he just simply answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. It's like, I don't have all the answers to your questions. He said, but one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He just simply shared what he had experienced, what Christ had done for him. And a personal testimony of what God has done for you can be one of the most powerful witnesses that we can share. And so we need to not be afraid to share the message of Christmas with others. Fear of not knowing what to say can keep us from sharing the good news, but also fear of how others will respond can keep us from sharing the good news of Christmas. Notice verse 18, it says, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them. That word wondered could be both a positive or a negative response. It means to be either extremely impressed with something where it makes a good impression on you, or to be extremely disturbed by something. Both are possible with this word. What it shows us is that not everyone received the message of the shepherds with joy. Some were disturbed by it. Some received it with joy. And the truth is, the gospel message is not always well received, but we cannot let that stop us from sharing the message of the gospel, and especially the good news of Christmas at this Christmas time. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, God calls us his witnesses. 2 Corinthians 5:20, God calls us his ambassadors. He has given us the message of the gospel. We understand the reason for Christmas. And so we need to not let fear cause us to keep it in, but instead respond in faith and share it with others. So from these three individuals we've seen, Joseph, Mary, and the shepherds, we're reminded of the fact that it's at all times, but especially at this Christmas season, we need to respond to God's word in faith and not fear. Joseph shows us that we need to respond in faith by not being afraid to take God at his word. Be willing to say that whatever God says, that's what I'll do. That's what I'm clinging to. That is what is holding, keeping me firm. That is what I am basing my life upon. Even though his life was turned upside down, he found stability and comfort and strength by claiming the word of God and trusting God's word. Mary responded in faith by not being afraid to submit to God's plan for her life. Even though she didn't understand it all, even though there were a lot of questions still unanswered, she willingly said, "Okay, Lord, whatever you want, I'm your handmaid, be it unto me according to thy word." And the shepherds responded in faith by sharing the message of Christmas with others. So the question is, how do you respond to God's word? How have you responded to the message of Christmas? First of all, have you responded by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And then after that, are you responding in faith by obeying and taking God at his word? That's a moment-by-moment decision, day-by-day, moment-by-moment. Do you respond by submitting to God's plan for your life? Whatever God shows you from his word, do you submit to that and surrender your all to him? And are you sharing that with others? You must respond to God's revealed word in faith and not fear. Let's bow for prayer.